Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L. I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, May 29th, 2026, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in More About Alcoholism. We're on page 41, the second full paragraph, beginning with, "As soon as I regained my ability to think," ending with, "I knew then it was a crushing blow." And we're going to read and comment on that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Mary Frances W., who will be reading the 12 steps, Diane M.C., the 12 traditions. Let's see here. Michelle A.C. will be reading the text. Debbie W. is reading page 164. And Robin B. is our backup reader today. Our newcomer greeter is Christine M., and announcements will be Jody E. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, May 28th, 2026, at 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 23,500 or 23500. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,502 or 23502. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Mary Frances W. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey there, Mary Frances.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, everyone. This is Mary Frances W. from Pennsylvania. Grateful to be here and happy to read the 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Mary Frances W. Next, we will ask Diane M.C. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey there, Diane.
Hey, Stephanie and Vision family. Hope you're all having a good day. This is Diane M.C. in Chicagoland, recovered compulsive eater, 12 traditions of OA. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problem of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Hi, Tess.
Oh, thank you so much, Diane and Steve. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Please and thank you. Today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in More About Alcoholism. We are on page 41, the second full paragraph beginning with, as soon as I regained my ability to think, ending with, I knew then it was a crushing blow. And we are reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning. And we will now ask Michelle A.C. to please begin reading. Good morning, Michelle.
Thanks, Stephanie. This is Michelle A.C., gratefully recovered in Boulder, Colorado. As soon as I regained my ability to think, I went carefully over that evening in Washington. Not only had I been off guard, I had made no fight whatever against the first drink. This time, I had not thought of the consequences at all. I had commenced to drink as carelessly as though the cocktails were ginger ale. I now remembered what my alcoholic friends had told me, how they prophesied that if I had an alcoholic mind, the time and place would come, I would drink again. They had said that though I did raise a defense, it would one day give way before some trivial reason for having a drink. Well, just that did happen and more. For what I had learned of alcoholism did not occur to me at all. I knew from that moment that I had an alcoholic mind. I saw that willpower and self-knowledge would not help in those strange mental blank spots. I had never been able to understand people who said that a problem had them hopelessly defeated. I knew then it was a crushing blow. So I don't know if you heard that I had trouble reading. I have so much writing in this paragraph that I can barely read it, which I think tells me that it's very significant. But when I glanced at it this morning, the thing that really actually caught me was what good news for him. This is the best possible news. We find that out because in the next paragraph, it says the two members of Alcoholics Anonymous come visit him and they grin. And they're not mean people. We're not mean people. We're not laughing at somebody else's inability to use self-knowledge and willpower to overcome this disease, it's a grin of relief. Like, okay, now you see it, right? He's having an amazing first step experience. He thought he could do it. He thought that self-knowledge and willpower could help him to overcome this disease. And he's figured out and surrendered that that is just not the case. And it's interesting because, you know, a couple paragraphs ago, he says he was very self-confident that it was just a matter of exercising willpower and keeping on guard. And, you know, I spent my life that way. If I just do this, if I just do that, I can just do this. And there was so much information, perhaps not always true information, but a flood of information, what to eat, when to eat, how to eat, what to eat together, when not to eat, what to do to work out, what this, what that. If information were the only thing standing in between me and licking the disease of compulsive overeating, it would have been easy. And I have a lot of willpower and a lot of self-knowledge. So it should have been simple, right? And the sense of shame and self-hate that I had because it wasn't simple and it wasn't easy and I couldn't lick it. And I had those strange mental blank spots that turned into years of misery. The only way to what I have now, to the connection with the higher power, to the recovery, to the program, to you all, the only way there is through the gate. And the gate is admitting to ourselves, fully surrendering to our innermost selves that we are in fact compulsive overeaters. So I'm reading this with great hope this morning and a sense of real, like, you go, you're getting there. The next thing that's going to happen is going to be so good. So, I'm not sure exactly how he meant the paragraph when he, you know, when he wrote it. But for me, it really, even though it's all underlined as a warning, today to me, it looks like a promise that this is the gate through which we go to get to something so much better. And with that, I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Michelle AC. We are now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit. If everyone could press star one to mute, there's a lot of background noise. Thank you so much. So although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. And if you share it on Wednesday or Thursday on any of the vision meetings, please allow others the opportunity. Okay, guys, star one, please mute. Please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share. I will remind you when your time is up. So if you'd like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like
Alex
to share?
Alex K. Alex K.
I've got you, Alex.
Thank you.
Avi V, Vancouver, BC.
Got you, Avi.
Michelle, WC in California.
Got you, Michelle.
Nancy LJ, California.
Christina J.
Got you, Nancy LJ from California.
Christina J.
Where are you calling from?
Oh, sorry, Washington.
Thank you.
Wendy M.
Robert A., California.
I've got Wendy M, Colorado, I believe. There was someone after Wendy.
Marcel F.
Barbara A, California. Barbara A, California. Did I hear a Marcel?
Yes, Marcel F, Manitoba, Canada.
Marcel F is in Frank?
That's right.
Awesome, gotcha. You guys are being so easy on me today. I can hear everyone clearly. Was there anyone else who wanted to get in on this first lineup?
Claudia C., California.
Claudia C. from California.
Rebecca M., California.
Was that Rebecca?
Yes.
And what was your last initial?
M.
M as in Mary? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, well, we'll pause, we'll stop there. I've got Alex K., Avi V., Michelle W.C., Nancy L.J., Christina J., Wendy M., Barbara A., Marcel F., Claudia C., and Rebecca M. great first lineup. We're going to start with Alex K., followed by Avi V., and please, when you start, let us know your first name, last initial, and always let us know where you're calling from so people can find you on the member list. Good morning, Alex.
Hi, Stephanie. Thank you for your service, and thanks, everyone, for being here. I'm Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, given or approved for today. That strange mental blank spot is when the insanity takes over. I don't put up any resistance or even think about it. I don't see the need. All I can hear is the disease, but I don't recognize it as a disease. And once the compulsion hits, trying to stop is like trying to stop a freight train. It may start casually. I think I'll just have a little of this sweet dessert, as if it's non-alcoholic food, as if I'm not a compulsive eater who's had trouble with that food many times in the past. I don't see it as the first compulsive bite. The disease convinces me it's okay and normal. I can't see I'm in danger. I can't see the binge coming when I'm in that state of denial and delusion. The food is the last thing to go in a relapse, I've heard. It starts in the mind before I pick up the first compulsive bite. If I'm not spiritually fit, the disease thinking starts creeping in. I don't think I need to go to meetings as much or make calls. If I'm not doing all the recovery actions I need to do to support my recovery, I'm alone in my head, and the disease gets loud, and eventually I start thinking it's okay to eat foods that make me sick and crazy. So how do I remain spiritually fit? I need to immerse myself in my program in recovery, do my daily quiet time, nurture my relationship with my higher power, do my best to maintain that conscious contact as I go through the day and partner with my higher power and cooperate with my higher power in everything. Go to meetings regularly, as many as possible if I'm struggling. Talk to fellows, have a sponsor, be a sponsor, live in the steps continuously and do service. I need to make my recovery a priority and fit everything else around it instead of the other way around, which is what I did at the beginning, and that didn't work very well. And all of this is my medicine that I need to take every day to treat my disease. It's my solution, not just to my compulsive eating problem, but to any problem I have. And when I do these things, my connection with my higher power grows stronger, and the stronger that is, the more I hear my higher power's loving voice rather than the disease voice. And when the disease does come up, I can usually identify it as that and turn to my program, my higher power, for help and get a reality check, a second opinion, a healthy alternative to hurting myself. My higher power always guides me to a better way. So grateful to have found a solution and that I'm willing to take my medicine one day at a time. Thanks for helping me with my recovery today. Pass.
Well, thank you so much, Alex. Next, we've got Avi V, followed by Michelle WC. Good morning, Avi.
Hi. Thanks so much, Stephanie, for taking the meeting. This is Avi. I'm in Vancouver, British Columbia, gratefully recovered just for today. You know, one of the things that occurred to me listening to this reading and just where I'm at right now, and I'm just going to speak for myself, you know, it's, I can share easily when things are going really well, right? When I'm in full alignment with God, when, you know, things are peaceful, the noise, the chatter isn't there. And I tend to shy away when I'm struggling. And I'm in that place right now, right? Where, and I'm sure so many of you can relate to this, you know, skating on the edge a little bit, you know, like I'm fully absent. I weigh and measure my foods, and but there's this lingering thought that, you know, that, and it's that voice, it's the disease, right? That's saying, you know, I know food's not going to fix it, but oh man, would it ever be nice just to get some relief for just a little bit, just a little bit, you know? And it's been there. I mean, I'm going to be really honest. It's been there. It's taken up residence. and I pray and I do my writing. And I had an incredible talk with another fellow, and in a moment it completely it burst that balloon. It just killed it, because what it drove home for me, it really drove home, is that one is too many. One is too many, and 1,000 is never enough. If I pick up that one bite, it really landed that there is no amount of food that is going to fill that hole. I mean, I say it and I believe it. I know that. But right now I'm really feeling it, and I'm feeling shaky, because it's like coming out the other side, but without picking up that food. I mean, I've done everything other than get to that point of picking up. You know, we say the prelapse, those steps, those are real. So for today, I'm abstinent. I'm recovered. I'm grateful. I love this program so much, and this meeting and hearing the familiar voices and the stories. And thank you. And Michelle, thank you for opening up the meeting with your share. I just am deeply grateful, and really, it's just for today. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Avi V from Canada. Next, we've got Michelle WC, followed by Nancy LJ. Good morning, Michelle.
Hi, good morning, Stephanie. Thank you so much for everyone for your shares. I'm just so, what another great paragraph. And it really, this was my story. You know, back in February, I relapsed twice. I was, this like unknown force came over me, and I put food in my mouth, and I wasn't even really sure if I actually did it, because it was just, I was so out of touch with my own relationship with God, is what I realize now in hindsight. And when I look at this paragraph, like, this is my story, right? I have this alcoholic addict mind, and that's it. I get these mental blank spots, and no much power and self-knowledge can ever help when you get those mental blank spots. And I was thinking and reflecting on this week on Tuesday. Tuesday for me was back to work after a long holiday weekend. It was recently after my friend's celebration of life. And I just, in the middle of the like 10:30 in the morning, I had, in between my two, breakfast and lunch, I had this super strong urge of being like, I really deserve a treat. And there's a place on my, near where I work, where I could have gotten a treat. And I was feeling this strong compulsion to walk over there. It's how I felt back in February. Like, I really needed some comfort. And I'm so glad, instead of reaching for food, I reached for my telephone and I called a fellow, and, God guided me to call, of course, the right person. And what she said to me is, what's that feeling underneath? And we kind of got down into, this grief and this sense of comfort. And then I recalled listening to the special edition from this past Sunday, and how the speaker there talked about how she is able to find comfort with God. And I was able to think about, what could I do? Like, what is that comfort that I'm really craving? And it was really this, I really wanted a big, deep, long hug. And while that wasn't appropriate to get from any of my coworkers at work at 10:30 in the morning, I could kind of think about, God imagining him giving me a big hug and holding me and comforting me. And when I imagined that and I said that and I talked about it with this other fellow, that I just felt such a relief of sense of comfort and lightness and pure joy that I, that's what I came to this. I didn't realize that's what I was looking for when I came to this program, but that's why I keep coming back, is that I really want to live a life of joy and usefulness to others. And anyways, just thank you all for being so helpful to me in my recovery and being a part of my journey. I'll pass. Thank you.
Wow, thank you so much, Michelle WC from California. Next, Nancy LJ, followed by Christina J. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning. Good morning, folks. Hi, everyone. Happy Friday. Nancy LJ, California. And just wanted to check in. It's been a while since I shared. I wasn't able to get into the line for over a week, something with my mobile carrier, whatever. But just another reminder to be grateful, not to take anything for granted. I like this paragraph because it just reminds me, for what I learned of alcoholism did not occur to me at all. I like things simple and familiar, easy. And that's what I feel with this book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Everything I need to know is right here. And I remember, you know, for years having every freaking self-help book, you know, just, oh, well, let me read about this. That'll help. And let me read about that, you know. And it's so much freedom to just not have to do that anymore. And now part of my self-care is just reading juicy, trashy stuff, you know, like for fun. Because I got my book in the morning and I do my spiritual work and then I do my thing, you know, and it's awesome. And I love reading for fun, and I'm just grateful. And I guess that's all I have to say. I appreciate the share so far and looking forward to hearing the rest, and have a beautiful day and weekend.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Nancy L.J. from California. Next, we've got Christina J., followed by Wendy M. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning, everyone. Christina J. from the state of Washington. The question I asked myself this morning is, how can I serve? How can I serve with my experience, strength, and hope? So I don't think I was ever like Fred in the fact that he says all this stuff had never occurred to him. I knew it. Once I knew it, I knew it. I had a problem, I knew. But I still would go to the food because that was my place of allergy. My allergy was almost continually triggered when I was coming up in the world, because we didn't have good food. We were on eating restrictions with welfare and stuff like that, and that makes you not be able to buy things. And my mom was an addict, and so there was always sugar stuff. I always stepped into the ring with the food and continued to get beat up. I couldn't stop. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. I was hungry from emotional discomfort, from the allergy bothering me. I was angry, resentful, right? I was lonely for many years, but now I'm not lonely. I have a great husband, but I'm always lonely for God. And I was tired. All these excuses I would have for picking up. And I have learned now that I don't want to touch the hot flame anymore. You know, I had the shit beat out of me my entire life with this disease. And it has beaten me to the core, to the marrow of my bones. And today I can truly say I don't want to pick up the food. And that's a really deep statement. I said that many times before and I could not do it. No food today. Yesterday I had an extremely stressful day. Did I think of the food? No. Last night when I was in pain and irritation at the whole day, did I think of the food? No. I had the gift of desperation to run to God. This is a miracle for me. This is a miracle after almost 60 years of wanting to go to food. I don't even think about food anymore. I don't think of food. I don't think of my junk food. There are times when I think of extra abstinent food, but I don't want to go back to the allergy foods. So this last line, I never been able to understand people who had a problem that had them hopelessly defeated. I was always hopelessly defeated. But look, that's a really great line. Are you hopelessly defeated out there? Are you beat to a pulp? Have your bones felt the crushing blow of this fucking disease? I heard someone, this is not a game. Your life is on the line. How many more years do you want to stay lost in the food? The food is the first thing we got to get rid of. And then we can get to the real work. The real work. Our souls want release. The pain deep within wants to come up and out. And we have this program to help us with that. And we have that higher power that we can begin to crawl to. And you can cultivate a relationship with this thing that is the most beautiful, precious thing in your life. And soon you want it more and more because you realize nothing in this world is going to give you that. No human power is going to save you from death, from anything.
Christina,
so G-O-D, thank you. G-O-D is the thing you're going to get to, and you're going to be free. And you have to keep working it, because it doesn't come by just saying, oh, I'm going to do this. Oh, I know about my disease. Sorry for taking extra time. Love you all. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Christina J. in Washington. And before we go to Wendy M., let me remind you where we are. We are in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in More About Alcoholism, page 41. The second full paragraph beginning with, as soon as I regained my ability to think, ending with, I knew then it was a crushing blow. And we're going to go ahead with Wendy M., followed by Barbara A. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you so much for your service. Always enjoy having you on the line. I'm Wendy M. I'm recovered in Boulder, Colorado. I mean, there's so much here. I love this part. First of all, the opening lead, like, this is the good news. I love that, right? The bad news is not even bad, but like when I'm in my disease, when I'm in my alcoholic mind, I don't even know I'm in it, right? And so, like, for this person to go, holy cow, I'm finally getting it. Like, the light bulb is happening for this gentleman. Like, that's the good news. Like, watching your sponsee go from, like, hazy and dark to, like, oh, wow, got it, you know? So God has entered this man's life, right? God has entered our lives. And I'm not the same person that I was, but I think this is so funny. Willpower and self-knowledge would not help. It only doesn't help. It's destructive, right? As long as I think I can trust myself, as long as I think I have the answer to any and all problems, including food, I'm in trouble, right? So I love, like, how subtle they are. It just wouldn't help. It's like, well, it's actually worse than that, right? Because, like, you can subtly, like, Fred's like, I'm successful. Like, I can't believe I can't lick this, you know? He calls it a crushing blow. I call it an opportunity for God knocking on our door. Like, I hope my new sponsee gets it. Like, I hope, you know, and I feel like she's getting it, and it's super exciting to work with her, you know? But like, when we get this, like, what a relief. You mean I can't do anything about the food problem or my entire life? That's right. You can't do anything. That's a relief, right? Because as long as I think I can do something about it, I'm in the alcoholic mind. I'm in my own prison, right? I'm in bondage to self, because self still thinks it can eke its way in there and say, well, you know, I could do, I'm fine with everything else. I'm just a little agnostic with the food, just a little bit. It's okay, you know. As long as self can get some room to, you know, I'm in bondage to myself. So I have beyond my wildest dreams kind of a life, right? I ate because my insides didn't match my outsides. I ate because I was fake. I pretended, and I ate my rage, right? Like, I would be rageful at the world, but I was a nice girl on the outside because I would eat my rage, right? And today I don't have to eat my rage. I don't have rage because my insides match my outsides. I have freedom today, right? The words that I say to people match what I do. I tell people what I think and feel. I tell people awkward things. I tell people things that are really uncomfortable to tell them. But I'm like honoring myself. When I do that, I'm not hungry, right? And that's probably my time. I think I'll just stop there. Thanks.
Oh, perfect timing. Wendy M. from Colorado. Next, we've got Barbara A., followed by Marcel F. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you for taking on this meeting. So good to share today. It's been a long year. We're coming into June 2026, and I can remember about a year ago I started having this terrible pain in my knee, and I decided that I was going to not do my program. I was going to focus on the pain in my knee. And all it did was give me 20 extra pounds and a lot of extra pain, picking up foods that don't support my body. And I don't even care why I did it. I'm just grateful that I've been listening to the meetings, listening to the hope, the experience, the strength, sometimes getting so frustrated, like, oh my gosh, do I have to? But realizing when I get frustrated, that's where I'm stuck. When I hear somebody and I get frustrated or angry, that's where I'm stuck. I'm relating to that. And I'm so grateful to have this platform and to have the people and the technology to be able to go to meetings. I am on the members list. I have a 908 number, even though I live in California. I have not done reach out except for a small group of people for a long time. And I don't want people to know that I'm struggling. I have had a couple of days of ups and downs, but I'm really focusing because of this program, because of other people's help, because of reaching out, I am focusing on what is the best next right step for me. Yes, I am overwhelmed, and I don't want people to know that I'm struggling, and I feel like I'm a smart, intelligent woman, and why can't I get this? Well, it's like everyone said, it's not about knowledge. It's not about it's about this experience that I have, this experience of picking up and the opportunity to learn from that. I also am very close to my 70s, and this is the first time in my life I've been so restricted with movement. And, you know, I know that God gave me this opportunity to learn and to focus on how I'm feeling about myself and how I react. And I'm just so grateful to have this platform to be able to come to meetings, to share, to reach out to people. I miss my contact with my OA people, the people that I used to just reach out to. And I'm so grateful today to have the opportunity to say, hey, I'm here. I am starting day one. After a year of up and down and a gain of 20 pounds, I'm grateful. I've gone to 100 pounds twice. I am grateful that, hey, this time 20 pounds, and I am back on day one. I'm just grateful to be here. Stephanie, thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
And thank you so much, Barbara A., and we're grateful that you're here too. Next, we've got Marcel F., followed by Claudia C. Good morning, Marcel.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you so much for your service. Thank you to everyone who makes this meeting possible. This meeting has saved my life. I am a compulsive overeater living in recovery today by God's love, grace, and mercy. And I look at that first line, as soon as I regained my ability to think. Well, my ability to think in a certain way got me into a lot of trouble, but my ability to think, once I was able to put the food down, became a lot clearer, and I believe that it was really God inspired. You know, I love this chapter, and it's helping me remember again how important it is to have complete acceptance as step one. Complete acceptance of my powerlessness and complete acceptance of being defeated by this disease. And this disease only needs a tiny, tiny little crack to sneak in. These things, you know, sound maybe, you know, dismal, but they're not. And as our lead chair said, there is hope in this, because first comes awareness and then acceptance, and then we have a choice to move to action. I had not thought of the consequences in the past of picking up. Sometimes I did, and I just didn't care. Other times I found myself afterwards thinking, oh my goodness, how did I do that again? It's that strange mental blank spot, the complete forgetfulness of the misery and the just the terrible, terrible state of living in addiction. And I had been told, but you know, as Fred said, I had been told. Yes, I've been told. But until I came to complete acceptance of that powerlessness, none of it made sense. I had to experience it. I couldn't just read about it or talk about it. And for that, I'm just really, really grateful. And thank you so much for letting me share. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Marcel F. in Canada. Next, we've got Claudia C., followed by Rebecca M. Good morning, Claudia.
Oh, good morning, Stephanie. Thank you so much for your service. And hello, everybody. I wanted to first, I'm a compulsive overeater from California. I just wanted to first offer my apologies to everyone, especially those, you know, that do service, because I literally forgot what day it was yesterday, literally, and supposed to read the 12 step, but I didn't show up until somebody was reading for me already. So for that, I'm really sorry. I appreciate every one of you. But the reason, this is my first time sharing, which I'm a little nervous, but I have to share because I'm very, very grateful for all of those members that have shared in special edition that really recently have made me see that and understood, I'm talking at a literal level that, you know, there is no difference between food and alcohol. That I am a drunk with food, and that, you know, I've been in these rooms about 3 years, and it wasn't until recently that I realized that there is no difference, and that when, you know, the line in this section that says, I know, then it was a crushing blow. It was a blow. There's grief and understanding that I am no different, that I, just because, you know, I came in these rooms, I've never been outside my, what you would call normal weight, but what I do with food is not normal. And that's been really very hard to sort of understand and know that what my next steps are, and that I have to go to God. And literally these days, I have to get on my knees because I am in my first 100 days. And it is hard. So I really appreciate the members that say this is not easy, especially the first 100 days. And you don't have to weigh and measure my food. That's just for me. I'm speaking for myself. And, you know, a little bit here, a little bit down there, because volume is at the heart of my disease. Both extremes, right? Not eating or eating. I feel, you know, in control when I'm not eating and out of control when eating. So living right in the middle of life is really, really tough. And so I had to share that. Thank you again for all your shares. I know I apologize for not sharing because I get scared. What do I have to share? Do I know enough? Am I going to confuse people? All that stuff. I guess that's why we're here. But with that, I'll pass, and I'm grateful for this program and for my vision for you. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Claudia C. from California. Next, we've got Rebecca M. Good morning, Rebecca.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Stephanie, for your service. My name is Rebecca M., living in California. Claiming my seat this morning and trying to be open and honest about where I'm at today. And that being said, I'm struggling, and I think when I'm in living in the problem rather than the solution, I have to take action, and speaking always it helps me, and I'm reaching out. I've been working this program for a couple of months, and I have a sponsor, been working the steps, and gotten a lot of relief from that, from doing the work and moving closer to God and letting go of what I think I know and all the self-knowledge that I used to rely on. But I've been surprised. I got a shock a couple of days ago that I always knew I had bulimia, but I never knew I had anorexia as well. And I'm living in fear and in the disease now, and I think that what the disease is telling me is that I'm different, and that, you know, I'm not identifying with people as much as I used to. And I guess what I'm hoping to get out of sharing about this is for members who have the same flavor of disease as me to reach out. Because the disease is telling me that, you know, maybe I shouldn't be on the strict meal plan. You know, I've restricted so much in the past. Is this right? You know, and that self-knowledge and those thoughts are what's going to keep me disconnected and be a part from rather than a part of. And I want to be a part of this fellowship because it feels right. And like Fred, I've been off guard, and I haven't been able to make any fight against the first bite. And I never thought of the consequences. I'm reading this part of the reading because it's in italics, and I think that's so important. And but now, and since I started program, I have been able to make a fight with God, And I have been able to think of the consequences because I have God and this fellowship. So I just need to keep coming back, and I need to hear from people who can relate to me. So I will leave it there, and thank you all for being of service by just being on this line. Have a great day. Thank you so much. I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Rebecca M. from California. We can take one more. Who would like to take us out for a 3-minute share? Who would like to share?
This is Debbie P. in Florida.
Go for it, Debbie.
So, I'm Debbie here, South Florida, and happy to be here. When I was reading this, you know, it just made me think that, well, I had not thought of consequences. And, you know, that now I think people say, you know, the time would come where I would, you know, eat again if I didn't connect, that I did not have the power to do this and that I needed to connect with this. And when I came back, I was hopelessly defeated with life, and I did not want to give up my sugar and desserts because that was the only place I was getting any relief. But by doing that and connecting with healthy, recovered people, I was able to and reconnect with God. And I'm abstinent, and I am finding so much relief just in living, you know, from the God that I have connected with. That's all. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Debbie P. from Florida. We have like a minute. Did someone want to take the minute? Anyone who'd like to take a minute share?
Liesl F.
Go for it.
Hey guys, it's Liesl F. I'm just so grateful and thankful, and God is so, so wonderful, and praise God for my recovery and divinity. Just want to be of maximum service. If you need someone to call, you're welcome to reach out to me, and I just can't say enough how much prayer has helped my recovery, and just that willing to be honest in all my affairs. And yes, it's difficult to be a compulsive overeater, but it's my compass for God. If I'm feeling itchy and scratchy, I know that I got to turn to God. And I finally have a vocabulary for all these feelings. I never knew what was wrong with me, and I just feel like I'm discovering myself for the first time in recovery, and I just have so much love to give, thanks to God, and I just surrender my life and will to Him so I can do His will. And if you want to talk about the food, the issues with the food, issues with life, I'm here to help you, and you're not alone. We get so worked up in our heads, and I just...
Liesl, that's time.
Thanks. Blessings, everyone. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Liesl F. Well, we will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And let's see here. Debbie W., can you please read A Vision for You?
Yes, this is Debbie W., compulsive overeater in Oregon. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose.
Please hit star one to mute, please, if you're not speaking. If you're not Debbie, please hit star one. Thank you. Sorry about that, Debbie.
No worries. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with God is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.